Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Sister Sinodia, I believe you believe that. Amen. God is faithful. Well, we have a wonderful guest speaker today, Pastor Maureen Shana. So those of you that were at the ladies' conference, she needs no introduction for you. But for the rest of us, if you remember last year, she was here with her husband, Dr. Goodwill Shana, spoke at the Rhema graduation. And so this time she's without her husband, but he's, I know, praying for her and supporting her. But she and her husband have done a marvelous work starting in the nation of Zimbabwe, Bulawayo, Harare, 42 branches, Word of Life International Ministries. And they're now all over the world. And so she is the wife of one husband, the mother of five children. And I know, we know she has a special word in her heart for us. So let's receive from the Holy Spirit. Let's open up our heart to what God has in sending this wonderful gift today. Pastor Maureen, would you come? Thank you so, so much.
Good to be here this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want to recognize and honor the visionaries and the leaders of this house, Pastors Haley and Walker. Thank you for having me. It's an honor. I don't take it for granted. Thank you for trusting me with your pulpit this morning. I want to thank your leadership as well and everyone that has made this ministry have the impact that it has in this nation. May God bless you. Hallelujah. And greetings from my husband, Dr. Goodwill Shana. I wish he was here because I was here when he was ministering as well to cheer him up. But greetings to him. Yeah, greetings from him. Hallelujah. And to my family that came with me, thank you for coming. I appreciate the sacrifice and the honor. Hallelujah. Are we ready for the word this morning? Yes. Tell your neighbor, I'm ready. I'm ready for the word. Hallelujah. You know, I like what Papa Hagin used to say. He would say, in every service, God has a plan. God has a plan for this service. God is not a busybody. He just doesn't get people, gather them just for nothing. He always has a word. So I pray that this morning there's going to be an expectation. You expect God because expectation always brings manifestation. And how many of us are expectant this morning? Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm expectant. I'm expectant. Hallelujah. You know what happens when we are flying? For those that fly, you know, just before we fly, they will tell you, they'll give you instructions. They will tell you what to do, what not to do. They will tell you that you have to belt up. They will tell you if anything happens, the mask is going to drop. You put your mask, your own mask first before you try and help others. And this morning, you put on your own mask. You believe God for yourself. Don't think about others. Don't say, but this is for somebody else. Believe that the word is for you. Hallelujah. So you put your own mask first. Hallelujah. So we're going to introspect. We're going to receive the word of God. We're going to receive it. We're going to hear it. And we're going to receive it with meekness because it is a word that helps. And this is the word. Receive the word with meekness, the word that is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Father, we want to thank you that the entrance of your word bringeth light and understanding to the simple. In the name of Jesus, your light brings understanding. It gives light and understanding to the simple. Thank you for your word that liveth and abideth forever. In the name of Jesus, this morning we receive it with meekness, the word that is able to save our souls. In the name of Jesus, grant me utterance this morning so that I will speak as the oracles of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Give me a living amen, somebody. You'll have to preach with me this morning. You'll have to teach with me this morning. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. God is building his church. God is building his church. You know, I'm reminded this morning as you turn to Matthew chapter number 16. You know, I'm reminded of Paul in Romans chapter number 1. Paul says in Romans chapter number 1 from verses 9, 10 and 11. He says to the Romans, he's writing a letter, and he says, "For I'm yearning to see you, that I may impart and share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you." So he says, "I yearn to come." See, when God brings people, pastors, when God brings people of God, let me tell you, it's not only what they say, but there is an impartation. There are graces, everybody who comes, many people that come, I'm talking about authentic men and women of God. They just don't come empty. They carry with them graces. There is a grace. Your pastor has a grace. There is a grace upon the men and the women of God. So Paul says, "I yearn that I would come. I would want to come. I'm praying that I would come so that I may impart." There is an impartation. He says, "So that I impart and share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you." And I pray that this morning, as we share the word of God, there'll be an impartation. There'll be some graces. There'll be some giftings that will be impacted. There'll be an activation of the giftings, the abilities, the capacity, the anointing upon your life, that God will provoke, will stir up something within you, so that you are not just a church member, but that you become the child of God that you are called to be. Because it's so easy that we can be in church and become so familiar with the things of God, and we forget that we are not just church members, but God has called us so that we can be witnesses, so that we can be the light. You see, God is a spirit. He can't come here and do what he wants to do, but he has to do it through you. Amen. Yesterday I said we are not weekend warriors. We are not weekend submarines. People who live any way they want throughout the week, but on Sunday they appear. You are not a submarine that appears on a Sunday. This work should be done daily. Tell your neighbor, you are not a weekend submarine that appears on Sunday and suddenly, oh, I have to put on my Sunday outfit. I have to put on my Sunday gear. We are called to walk this walk. It's a daily walk. So Paul says, "I desire to come. I yearn to come so that I may impact." So there is something about being present. It's okay to do it online. I'm sure there are people online, you know, but Paul says, "I want to come in person." And I pray that this morning you are not just saying, "What is she going to say?" But you are saying, "Lord, what do you have for me? What do you have for me?" Because God has a plan for every service. "For I long to visit you so I can bring some spiritual gift that will help you grow, that will help you grow strong in the Lord." Hallelujah. So the word of God says in Matthew chapter number 16 from verse 13. It says, "When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples," I'm reading from the Message version, "what are people saying about who the Son of Man is?" What are people saying about who the Son of Man is? They replied, you know, the word of God is very, you know, they just don't put letters for the sake of putting letters. They replied, "Some think he is John the Baptizer. Some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Some say John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. You know, it was easy for them to say, some say. But today I'm going to focus on personal responsibility. Some say, what are others saying? It was so easy. They were throwing names. Some say John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. It was easy. If I can ask you today, what are people saying about miracle life, right? What are people saying? It would be so easy for you to say, some say. What are people saying about this Jesus that you have come to know? Some say. But this is what happens. The next verse, verse 15, the word of God says, and he pressed them. And how about you? Who do you say that I am? I've come to press you this morning. Jesus pressed them. He pressed them. He wanted an answer. They had told him that some say. It was easy. It was easy to say, to say others say. Hearsay is easy. But Jesus says, let's take it a little bit further. Let's take it a step further. But who do you say that I am? You are in this church. You know Jesus. You got born again. But who is this Jesus to you? You see, we will not be witnesses unless we know who this Jesus is. Not as a church, not as a group, but as a person. Yes, I know you know scriptures. Yes, I know you know where the church is. Yes, I know you are involved in the church. Yes, I know. I know you are busy. You are active in the church. That's okay. But who is this Jesus to you? Jesus was about to leave them, but he wanted to be sure that these people knew exactly who he was. If they didn't know him, how were they going to represent him? How are you going to represent someone that you don't know? This is the challenge that we have in the church. People know about Jesus. People know about God, but they don't have an intimate relationship with God. Let me tell you, you can't stand for who you don't know. You can't witness. The reason why we don't witness sometimes, the reason is that why we don't go all the way sometimes, the reason why sometimes we have to be pushed and we have to be pulled to do things is because we don't know him. When you know him, you don't need no one to push you. When you know him, let me tell you, it will push you. Because when you know him, do you know him? We've got to know him. It's not enough that you come to church. It's not enough that you belong to a connect group. But do you know him? You see, you can be born again. If you're born in a hospital, it doesn't make you a doctor. You've got to train. You've got to be skilled. It's not enough that you got born again. That's just the entry. That's just the initiation. Now that you are born again, do you know him? So Jesus pressed them. I've come to press you this morning. How much do you know this God? You see, the reason why we fall and faint, the reason why when we get offended in the church, we faint and we lose heart is because we don't know him. Did you know that as an individual, you are called to a church? You are called to a place. You are called to a purpose. You are called. You've got to know something. God is not a busybody. He just didn't put you in this church because he had no other churches. I'm sure there are many other churches, but he put you here. Do you know him? When you know him, you will know his ways. When you know him, you will know what he wants you to do. He says your steps, the paths of a righteous man, are ordered by the Lord. He will order you. You will hear his voice behind his ear saying, this is the way to go. See, the reason why sometimes we have big churches and just a few people serving is because they don't know him. The reason why there's just a few people doing stuff is because people don't know him. If you know him, you can't sit and be like a log, like a lamp on a log. He pressed them. There is a press in this season to know him. The word of God says there are many voices in the world and none of them is without signification. There are many voices. Which voice are you going to listen to? There are voices of social media. There are voices of friends. There are voices of families. There are voices. There are voices. There are voices of medical science. There are voices. Which voice are you going to listen to? So Jesus was pressing. I've come to press you this morning. Do you know him? You woke up this morning. You gave up your Sunday to come to church. Why did you come? Do you know this Jesus? Or you've heard about him? Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, says that I may know him. Because you can't know him enough. The word of God says his greatness is unsearchable. But you've got to know him. And Daniel chapter number 11 verse 32b says, and the people that do know their God, the people that know, I'm talking about people in the church that know their God. When you know him, the word of God says, and the people that do know their God, they shall be strong. That word know, men of God, is the word yada. That word yada means people that are intimate, like husband and wife. You don't produce because you are standing next to somebody. Otherwise, we'll all be producing here. But it's the people that have an intimate relationship. It's the people that yada, people that are intimate with God, that will be strong. Which means, if I'm not intimate, if I don't know him, I will not be strong. Can we call you strong today? Do you have the strength to stand? The word of God in Ephesians says, having done all, to stand. Are we going to stand? We are living in the last of the last days. If you didn't know, you can see from the events in the world, rumors of war. You can see the way people are living, the love of money, people getting married. All these are signs of the last of the last days. But do you know him? It's the people that yada their God. It's the people that know their God. And Paul prays, he says, that I may know him. There is a knowing, my brothers and sisters, that enables you not to doubt him. When you don't know him, you'll doubt him. I want to know him so well that I will not doubt him. Do you know him? Do you know this Savior? Do you know this Healer? Do you know El Shaddai? Do you know El Elyon? Do you know the God that sees? Do you know the God that knows you? Do you know the God who knows you by name? He says your name is tattooed in the palms of my hand. Do you know this God? When you know him, when the winds of life come, your house will remain standing because you are grounded and rooted on the solid rock. Do you know this God, or are you just a church member? We are not looking for church members here. We are looking for people that are persuaded. People that are persuaded. That is why the apostles in the book of Acts, you know, they would stand. There was persecution. You know, this is how the church grew, through persecution. Well, we have not seen it, but it's coming. Will you stand? They were able to stand. They knew him. There is something about him, about them, that made them different. You know, the word of God tells us that people recognized that these people were not learned. I'm not talking about education today. And that is good. But do you know him? I'm pressing you this morning. Know him for yourself. Not for your mama. Not for your pastor. Know him for your... I always say, you know, there is something about your personal relationship with God. You know, I remember some years back, we were traveling to a place called Victoria Falls, I'm sure. Yes, it's familiar to you here as well. And, you know, I was at the airport. And when we got to the airport, you know, we went into the waiting room. We were in the waiting room, and I thought people were going to come. But when check-in started, I realized we were just about 5 of us. And when I checked outside, I noticed that Air Zimbabwe had hired the biggest aeroplane ever that was parked outside. And I'm like, you know what? We do have issues in Zimbabwe. But this is ridiculous. How can Air Zimbabwe get the biggest of the aeroplanes just for the five of us? But you know, because it was in the city where I grew up, everybody knows everybody. So I'm in this place and I'm thinking, Zimbabwe, what happened to you? And boarding time came. I got my boarding stub and it was written free sitting. And for the longest time, I've wanted to be free in the plane. If you are a pastor, everybody knows you. You are always in your best behavior. And today, these five people that are here, I don't know them. So I told myself, for the first time, I'll be able to go to the bathroom. I can sit wherever I want. I can do whatever I want because nobody knows me here. So, you know, leaving the waiting room, going to the plane, I took forever. You know, I was just walking slowly. We didn't have a bus, so you were walking. So we just walked slowly. We were chatting. And, you know, it's free sitting. I'll sit anywhere. What's the hurry? Anyway, there's only how many of us? Five of us. So we walked. I went up the stairs and I got to the entrance, to the door of the aeroplane. When I peeped, I realized the plane was full. In my small mind, I thought the journey was starting in Bulawayo, but the journey had started in Harare. And the reason why they said free sitting was because the plane was full. So they were saying, find yourself a seat. That is empty. And God began to speak to me right there. And he said, this is what happens in life when you can't see anyone, maybe who's fired up as you are. When you come for prayer and the leaders that you're expecting to see are not there. When you are doing stuff in the church or wherever and you think there is nobody. And he said, there is a plane going to heaven. There are people that you can't see that are already doing what you're supposed to do. And he said to me, never change your gears because you can't see others. Never change your gears because there's no one who has caught what you have caught. Don't change your gears because you can't see. The fact that I can't see doesn't mean there are no other people. Because you can't see people passionate around you. Because you can't see people who are sacrificing around you. Because you can't see what others are doing. Then you begin to slow down and you begin to tell yourself, I'm fine. I walked slowly. I did my thing slowly because I thought in my mind that I was the only one, child of God. You can sit and be comfortable. You can sit in Zambia and say it's not happening anywhere in the world. Let me tell you, creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. There are other sons of God all over the world. Things are happening all over the world. People are raising the dead. People are on fire for God. People are committing and going all over the place as missionaries. How about you? Don't judge God using the eyes of your little village or your little township. You are in here and you think this is the best thing that ever happened. Let me tell you, it's a big, big world and things are happening. You don't benchmark yourself because of your little village or your few friends. He pressed them. He pressed them. I've come to press you. Do you know him? How much do you love him? I'm not talking big revelation, but this is foundational. Foundations are never seen, and yet they hold the house. Foundations are normally overlooked, but you go as high as your foundation. You may not see it, but that's holding you. We will see how far you go through your foundations. What foundation have you built? You can't have a toilet foundation and want to put double stories. It won't happen. A sleepy foundation where you don't get into the word of God and your word and the Bible is only looked at on a Sunday. The word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 verse 15, study to show yourself Not other, yourself approved unto God. A workman. This is what the word of God says. Doesn't it say that in 1 Corinthians 3:9, that we are his workmanship. We are workmen. We are co-laborers together with Christ. Hallelujah. He pressed them, I'm pressing you this morning. Know this God. So he pressed them. And how about you? What do you say I am? Simon Peter was like a forward guy, but I like forward people in the things of God. He didn't care what others said. You know, sometimes the reason why we don't commit, the reason why sometimes we don't do what God has told us to do is because of people's opinions. The fear of man brings a snare. What are people saying? What if you are the only one? You are the only one who got the instruction. You are the only one who got the instruction to pay for the whole Living Free conference. So why are you gathering a committee? God spoke to you. Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. Jesus came back. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. There are answers, my brothers and my sisters, that you won't get from books. It's good to have books. Books inform. But this book transforms. Other books are ordinary books. But this book is a book of wonders. That is why Psalm says, open my eyes that I may see. In Psalm 119 verse 18. Open my eyes that I may see. Wondrous things. It's a book of wonders. Whilst you are thinking you have wondered, there's another wonder. Whilst you think it's over, there's another wonder. Open my eyes that I, you know, that I. David doesn't write about other people. He says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things. Do you see? Do you want to see wonders? I'm not talking about wonders, magic from the prophet. I'm talking about wonders from the word of God. Did you know that in the Bible, prophets did not know everything? If you want to know that this is a man of God, is a prophet of God, they were not busybodies. You remember the Shunammite woman when she lost her child and the man of God saw, Elisha saw her coming and he said, this was not told me. So even the prophets, some things are not told. If they know everything, what kind of a prophet is that? If you say, man of God, give me a word, man of God, and they give it. How? From where? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, the Spirit gives as he wills, as the Spirit wills, not as the man wills. As he wills. So right there, you know there's magic. Jesus came back. God bless you. I mean, and the other reason why we want to be told, tell me something, tell me about my future. But the word of God is the word of prophecy. What other prophetic words do you want? This is prophetic. God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. He says, books and teachers. Books or teachers. You did not get the answer from books and teachers. It's good to study books. But books, not all books. I'm not saying books are bad. But there's the book. This book of the law. This book, let me just read it from Joshua chapter number 1 verse 8. This book of the law, I'll read it from the New Living Translation. This book of instruction. This is what New Living Translation says. You know, it's so powerful just to be able to read from different versions and allow the Bible to speak to you. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 8. Are we here? Or have we gone home? Hallelujah. Joshua chapter number 1 verse 8. Yes, I'm waiting for you to open your Bibles. You're not using my Bible because you're not taking my Bible with you home. Take check it in your Bible, the Bible that you'll use at home. It says, study this book of instruction continually. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Study this book of instruction. Study this book of instruction. Say, it says, books, ordinary books and teachers did not reveal this to you. But who revealed it to you? Hallelujah. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. So there are secrets. There are secrets that are hidden, not from you, but for you in the word of God. Do you want to know God's secrets? Do you want to know God's secrets? God himself let you in on this secret of who I really am. And then he says, and now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. After that revelation, Jesus says, now I'm going to tell you who you are. You see, you find who you are through the revelation in the word of God. You are not what your mama called you. You are a child of God. You are blessed. You are the head and not the tail. So Jesus says, I'm now going to tell you. Now that you have stepped into revelation, now that you know, I'm going to tell you who you really are. You see, the world will define you. The world will call you whatever they want to call you. But who are you really? Let the word of God call you. Let the word of God tell you who you are. You are a child of God. You are forgiven. You are in him. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are the healed of the Lord. Who are you? You see, if you don't know who you are, the devil will kick you from here to Timbuktu and back. You've got to know who you are. But how do you find out who you are? You are not what your certificates told you. You are not what your experience has told you. You are not what your ex-husband told you. You are not who they said you are. You are who God says you are. So he says, I'm going to tell you who you are, Peter. I'm going to tell you. And when I tell you, I know you will understand. I'm paraphrasing that. Who are you? Who does the Bible say you are? When you go for your medical test and they say it's over, who are you? You begin to say, I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I remember going to the doctor some time ago, and the doctor did whatever they did, and he came back and he said, I guess, Mrs. Shana, you'll have to live with this. There is nothing that medical science can do. So you'll have to manage it. You've got to live with it. What do you do when life, when medical science tells you, defines you, that you're going to live with this for the rest of your life? What do you do when things happen and they define you? You've got to know who you are from the word of God. The word of God says, I am healed. The word of God says, he that the Son sets free is free indeed. Galatians 5 number 1 says, now that the Lord has set you free, make sure you stay free. Now that the Lord is, I'm free. These are symptoms. These are lying vanities. You begin to stand. You define yourself. The verdict is not from what they've said. Your verdict is from the word of God. I will tell you who you are. You are who God says you are. You are who God says you are. And Jesus begins to speak. He speaks again. He says, you are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. The gates of hell will not keep it out. He is building his church. God is the one that is building his church. God uses men and women to build his church, but ultimately he is the builder. So when you look at men and you say, I am helping Pastors Haley and Walker, and you know, when they are not there, I don't do it. When they are there, I do it. You have just lost it. They are also co-laborers with Christ. He is building his church. When we get to understand that the church belongs to God, he is the chief shepherd, you will then do things differently. We are building with him. How are you building your part? Because every one of us has a part to play. There is no one who's called to be a spectator. I said, you are called to a place, you are called to a purpose, you are called to a person, believe you me. You are called to a place. You are called to a purpose. You are called to a person. The disciples were called to Jesus. Does it mean that this person is the most wonderful thing that ever happened? No. God places people in churches. God places, God calls. It is him that calls people. When he calls, the word of God says he has set in the church some apostles, some prophets. He has set people, and then he brings other people to work with that person. So you are not here by accident. We are not rehearsing life. You can't wait. We are not at a bus stop. We are living life. How are you living your life? Even through this ministry. How have you committed yourself? Because you are called to a place. You are called to a purpose. You are called to a person. Joshua was called to Moses. Elisha was called to Elijah. You are called to a person. They don't have to be what you like. But that's what they are good for you though. You may not even like what they do, their personality. It's not a personality thing, but God knows what you need. You may not like the medicine, but that's what you need. It may be bitter, but that's what you need. Find your place and be planted and grow and flourish. Where were you called? You are called to a place. If this is your place, then make it count. If this is your place, then get involved. I refuse to be in a place of calling and I just sit and I'm a spectator. I refuse to be at a place of calling and I'm just watching and I'm just watching and I'm letting other girls and boys do stuff that I'm supposed to do. I refuse to be insignificant. I refuse just to be ignorant. The word of God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So Jesus says, I'm building my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. As he builds the church, participate, get involved, grow, know God for yourself. Find out, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? What is your plan here? Where am I supposed to be involved? Sometimes people say, but I don't know my purpose. I don't know what God has called me to do. Just start somewhere. But refuse just to be a spectator. Refuse just to watch. Refuse just to come in and then after the service you are gone. Find out. Find out what's happening. God is calling. I'm reminded as I come to the end of David. He understood. He knew God. He understood that there was a call upon his life. And he knew God. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, the word of God tells us that when his father sent him to bring food to his brothers, he found the giant Goliath. What am I saying? There will be giants in the land. And what are you going to do about those giants? The word of God says the Israelites were so afraid. Even Saul himself was supposed to be the king. Because kings in those days were not like our presidents, where you're just talking. No, but they were warriors. They needed to fight. So they were part of the army. But he was afraid. And David comes and he says, what shall be done to this? What shall be done to anyone who kills this so-called champion? He was called a champion, but really we are not told what he had done. And these people just said he's a champion. No history, but they were so afraid because they were looking at the stature. But when David comes, because he had a relationship with God, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He was not being rude, but he was saying, who is this man who doesn't have a covenant with God? He understood that he had a covenant with God. He understood he had a relationship with God. He understood that this man has no cover. This man has no protection. He has no covenant, but I have a covenant. So he says, who is this man without covenant who is defying the armies of the living God? Let me tell you, if you don't know God, the Philistines, the Goliath of life will come and they will parade themselves and will be so afraid when they don't have the power. The word of God says the devil is like the roaring lion. He is not the lion. We know only one lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But he comes like a roaring lion. He comes to scare us. He comes so that we can be afraid. But don't be intimidated. Be a David. And they said, shh. You know, when you are strong and you begin to stand your ground, people will say you are too much. But you know, David says, is there not a cause? I've come to tell you, is there not a cause? Jesus already died for us. The word of God tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, that the case is closed. Let me tell you, Jesus already made a spectacle of the devil and defeated him over it. According to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, the devil has been defeated. Hallelujah. But he comes like a roaring lion. But if you don't know, you'll be intimidated. David says, I'm not afraid of this man. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for you to fight? Is there not a cause for you to stand and have a testimony? David says, I have a testimony. I've seen the goodness of the Lord before. I've fought a lion, I've fought a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to cut his head, I'm going to feed it to the birds of the air. Let me tell you, you can stand your ground. Don't quit. When you know who you are in Christ, stand your ground and say like Jesus, it is written. Hallelujah. It is written. You've got to know something to be able to stand. And Saul says, can I give you my armor? Why didn't he use his armor if he knew it was so helpful? Why didn't he use it himself? Now he's giving to David what he has failed to use himself, what didn't work for him. And David says, I've not tried this one. We can't try that scripture that we have never meditated on. We can't try, we can't yank a scripture and say, I am healed. Do you really mean it? Do you know it? Oh, by the stripes of Jesus, I said the word. It's not just saying it. Do you believe it? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you've got to believe it and confess it and speak it. Jesus said, flesh and blood, books and teachers have not revealed this to you. Let me tell you, when there's revelation, when you have a revelation of something, you know, the rest is history. I remember one time as I close, I have 2 minutes. I remember one time I was so sick and you know, I was just standing on the word of God and I said, Lord, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. And you know, I was going through the word. I was speaking the word to myself. I was speaking it until I got to Matthew chapter number 8, verse 17. When I got there, the scripture that says himself took my infirmities. When I got there, something on the inside of me jumped. I jumped off my bed and I said, himself took. Something had happened. The word had come alive. I tell you, am I saying symptoms don't come? No. Am I saying the devil won't try? No. But I had caught something. Himself took. Himself took. If you took, I don't have. May God bless you.